Last week, the section of John 10 we were in, Jesus declared, "I am the gate of the sheep, I am the gate," and looking at Jesus or the gate or the door, he is the one that provides access, and that was, while it's a concrete illustration, it was still something that was a little bit unexpected by the people. And now Jesus goes into a more pastoral representation of who he is. And it is, "I am the good shepherd." Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," twice. The first time he says, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That's our focus today. And combined with Psalm 23. So if you're going to follow along, it would be in John 10, verses 11 through 21, and then Psalm 23. And we'll kind of flip back and forth between those. Next week, we'll look at verse 14 in John 10. "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me." And we'll also use Psalm 23 with that. Looking at Jesus as the good shepherd with Psalm 23, King David's beautiful psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." So as we enter into this and begin to open up God's word in John chapter 10, let's again be in prayer. Lord, we come before your word because it is yours and it is for us. And we know that in your word we find life and hope. So fill us with life, make our minds sharp to understand and our souls ready to apply. For we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, John chapter 10, beginning at verse 11 and going through 21. And it is Jesus who is speaking. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, "He has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" So today we look at the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And we begin by considering how the good shepherd has supreme authority. And we see in this the glory of Jesus. He has supreme authority. In verse 12, he says, "He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep." And Jesus is saying he's the true shepherd. The sheep belong to him, and he cares for them, and he is not going to flee from any danger. So there's the wolf, which we would see in this perhaps as Satan and any influences of Satan, and including the pain and suffering that led Jesus to the cross. So all of Satan's influences upon us has led us to choose sin at times over obedience and faithfulness. And because of that, Jesus faced the danger and the pain and suffering of the cross. So we see here that he fulfills his purposes because he is the shepherd that cares for the sheep. And in that, we see the beauty and the glory of Jesus. Jesus says in verses 17 and 18, he says, I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. See, the Roman government may have thought that they were in control. Even the Jewish leaders, as they incited the crowds to crucify him, they may have thought that they were the ones moving Jesus towards death. Pilate might have thought that as the representative from Rome, that he had the authority. Jesus makes it very clear, even here, as he is foretelling something about his death, he's the one in control. He's the one who has laid down his life. No one has forced him to do it. No one can force him to do it. It is his choice. And it is his choice before time began, before God created the heavens and the earth. It was Jesus' choice to lay down his life. That's an amazing thing. And Jesus says that he has authority to lay it down, the authority to do it. So he comes as the supreme authority over his life. And then he says he has the authority to take it back up again, referring to the resurrection. So here we have Jesus again, pointing to the future, foretelling what his mission is really about. And that is to lay down his life and to take it back up again. He has the authority. In other words, it's the power that Jesus has in himself, in who he is. And it's been clear throughout the Gospel of John that he is God in the flesh. So he has the authority to take his life back up again, and the resurrection can happen. We look at that, we look to Jesus, and we see again his beauty and his glory because of this authority that he has. But he also tells us that this authority he has received from the Father. Verse 18, this charge I have received from my Father. It's an amazing thing here, this relationship between the Father and the Son. It's a beautiful expression of love and devotion. There is a receiving of authority. And Jesus receives this knowing that as he does so, it will mean the path of the cross. And so he receives it. He then has this power to lay down his life and take it up again. And the beauty is further seen here in verse 17, where Jesus says, for this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. The Father loves me. The Father loves the Son. The Son loves the Father. The Son delights to do the Father's will, which becomes his will. They are one in their will. We find in here the beauty of love between the Father and the Son, a united will, an authority that is granted to the Son from the Father and received so that he may lay down his life and take it back up again. Who can take his life back up again? Who has the power and authority over life? It is only God. So we find throughout the Gospel of John very, very clearly. Everything that Jesus is saying, all the commentary around it that John writes, is a picture of Jesus who is infinitely glorious because he is God. God who became flesh and dwelt among us so that we could behold his grace and his truth. To see his power that was displayed in miracles, like opening the eyes of a man born blind. So that when it comes time for us to choose and to think about, do we follow Jesus or follow something else? We see Jesus and who he is. We say, these are the words of a man who brings truth. These are the actions of one who has power and authority that is only from God. This is the one who is worthy to be followed. So the Good Shepherd has this supreme authority. This means life for us. And here's where I want us then to turn to Psalm 23 and to see what this life means and how we benefit from it. So the Good Shepherd provides all that is needed. Psalm 23 begins, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I think that "I shall not want" is like an umbrella over all of the rest of Psalm 23. I have no needs. I have no needs that cannot be met by God. And so he begins, I think, to specifically address these in Psalm 23. This is David. And remember, David had been a shepherd. And he understood clearly what it meant to take care of a flock, to guard and protect the flock, to lead it to nourishment and rest. And I can just imagine, and it's just my imagination, but David, as he's out with his flock, and at night, perhaps, as he's watching over them and taking care, and he's looking up at the stars and just seeing the glory of God, and he begins to think about taking care of this flock and how God takes care of him, and begins to think about God as his shepherd. Now, I don't know if it happened that way at all, but somewhere along the line, David connected the dots because he had been a shepherd and he saw in there a beauty of God being his shepherd. And so, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures." Now, it's not he just provides for me green pastures. He makes me lie down. Now think about the commandment that we have from God is to keep the Sabbath. We have a day of rest. 6 days do we labor and we rest on the seventh. Why? It's to worship God. It's to show that God is the one who provides for our needs. We don't have to go out and labor on the seventh day. God is sufficient. And we're not sometimes smart enough or faithful enough to do the things that are right for us. So God gives us commands and tells us why he's doing these things. And still, we don't always follow them. But God gives us the command, rest. You have to rest. It's the way I made your bodies. You need to rest. And so David says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures." Sometimes God has to make us. Sometimes that making us comes through illness. We've just overdone it. And God says, "Now you rest." But we want to pay attention to this before we get too stressed, before we get sick. We want to allow our bodies to have sufficient rest. It's one of the gifts that God gives to us. It's a benefit. And it comes from our shepherd God. And so he makes us lie down in green pastures. There's a sufficiency right there. He's going to provide what the sheep need. But they don't even have to worry about grazing right now. They just lie down and rest because there's abundance around them. And so God gives to us an abundance so that we can lay down and find rest for our bodies, much needed. So our shepherd provides that for us. He leads me beside still waters. There is a peaceful refreshment that is there. The still waters. It's calm. You know, if you've been, it'd be any lake, but maybe up to Reflection Lake, Mount Rainier, beautiful place, when it's absolutely calm. The glory of that lake is seen because it reflects Mount Rainier. So it looks like you've got two mountains right there, just perfectly, when it's perfectly calm. If there's wind, the turbulence makes it so that the reflection isn't as clear. And somehow it just doesn't feel as calm. David envisions here this calm lake, its waters, perfectly at peace. And it brings refreshment as only water can. I remember backpacking in the High Sierras in California back when I was in my teens, and you're hot and sweaty. And you come to a stream of cold water. You pull off your, it was a Sierra cup, is what we called it. You kind of looped on your belt, and you go down and you get that water and you're refreshed. And you realize God made this water and it refreshes me like no other liquid out there. The Good Shepherd gives us this still water to give peace and refreshment to our souls and to our bodies. And then he just simply says, He restores my soul. What our shepherd does for us is to bring sufficient nourishment for our souls each day as we come in faith and trust in God. We believe this table brings spiritual nourishment that is received by faith. The grace of God is coming to us through the sacrament. God nourishes our souls. Sometimes we're doing really well and we don't feel a desperate need before God. And there are times when we thirst and hunger for God desperately. But in all those times, the only one who brings spiritual nourishment to us, who can restore our souls, is God. And it's done through the shepherd, who is able to restore our souls because he had the authority to lay down his life and to take it back up again for us. And so we receive the great benefit of soul restoration. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Imagine David as he was leading the sheep. He was always guiding them onto the right path. This path might lead to danger. There might be cliffs. This path over here leads to safety. We go here. It's the right path. Our shepherd leads us on the path of righteousness through his words in Scripture that we have here, through the Holy Spirit. We are led into right paths. David says that he leads me on paths of righteousness. He could have said, for my sake, because I need it, because I've followed the wrong path. But he says, for his name's sake. This is something that's echoed throughout Scripture, that God acts for his name's sake. That is, for the integrity of his own name, his promises that he has made, he will fulfill them, and for his own glory. God acts for his glory, and in that it's our good. Jesus went to the cross because in his act of laying down his life and then raising it back up again, the glory of his grace, that we receive this grace, the glory of that grace is perceived. God acts for his glory. If God were merely to act for us according to what we deserve, we wouldn't be here. But when he acts according to his own glory, he is acting according to his glorious plan that he devised before the foundations of the world. He acts according to the glory and the integrity of his promises, which he will fulfill. And so it is for his name's sake that he leads us on paths of righteousness. So the shepherd is glorified through his acts. And then a benefit that we receive is seen in verse 6 of Psalm 23 that is very dynamic. It says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. One of my professors pointed out that this following me, that another way to interpret that is pursue. It's not just following after me, trying to catch up with me. It's pursuing me, pushing me on. It's God's mercy and goodness that is always working for us. Isn't that an incredible thing? And so David sees this as a shepherd God that surely, and here it's just, there's an assurance that is there. This is true. Jesus would say, truly, truly, I say to you. David says, surely, goodness and mercy will pursue me, will follow me all the days of my life. There is not a time, not a day, not an hour, not a minute, not a second, when God's goodness and his mercy is not pursuing us, working for our good. We might not be feeling it at the time. We might not be seeing it in the circumstances around us. And that's next week's message, because it followed up on some things that the shepherd God is working for us in the midst of difficulty. But David's conclusion is God's mercy and goodness will pursue us always. And then we have a beautiful future that is secured for us. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, David knew then that God's mercy for his name's sake was for eternity, forever. And what we experience in this life is just a moment compared to eternity. It's a long time for us. And sometimes the days seem very, very long and very, very hard. But David looks forward to that time in the future, an eternity with God. He says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord. The picture there is just being with the Lord forever. Just being in the house of the Lord. He would view there perhaps the temple, the dwelling place of God. Just with God, the presence of the Lord. Sometimes theologians refer to this as the beatific vision. We will behold God for eternity. But as we're beholding him, we are receiving all of his benefits. And there is only infinite love and joy and peace. There's life. The Good Shepherd provides all that we need in this life and throughout eternity. Those are things for us to grab a hold of each and every day. Let's join our hearts again in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given to your Son the supreme authority which he so willingly took upon himself to lay down his life and to take it back up, that we might receive grace upon grace. And in that, your glory is perceived. We thank you, Lord, and we would ask that you would help us to be restored in our souls each and every day, and to grab a hold of your mercy that is pursuing us. These things we pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.